Hey, you guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't talk about business like it's a highlight reel. We talk about stuff that actually works for you because the truth is, there's a lot of people talking about AI right now, and a lot of it is noise, buzzwords, hype, little gaslighting, game-changing tools that don't actually change anything. We can go across the whole spectrum here. Meanwhile, real operators, the ones who have built and scaled and failed and figured it out, they're not guessing. They're solving real problems and making real money. And if your business isn't adapting, you're not just behind, you're leaking opportunities every single day. So if you want to understand where AI actually fits, this conversation is for you today, okay? I'm super excited to have Laurent Cohen on here. He's a builder and operator and someone who's been in the game long before AI became trendy. So Lauren, thank you so much for coming on to Into the Hot Seat. I start everybody kind of with the same question, and this is your elevator pitch. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you special.
Thanks for having me, Brandon. It's a real pleasure being here, and I know your dynamics, and I'm really looking forward to you pushing my limits.
Thank you.
I'm 54. I've been in business for over 30 years. I'm a bootstrapping entrepreneur. That's where I blossom. That's where I have everything that makes me happy. As soon as my companies reach out to the coffee machine slash bottle water cooler politics, this is where I get out, I just don't feel good in that environment. I consider myself very creative, but creative doesn't mean you don't know how to count. It doesn't mean you don't know how to code. It doesn't mean you don't know how to be relevant, which a lot of people think, they kind of mistake things. Oh, you're creative, you're an artist. No, I'm not an artist, I'm creative, but it doesn't mean I cannot run a business. So that's who I am. I've had multiple businesses, a lot of them successful, some of them were failure. But most of the failure were a blessing, as you've heard it all. Well, of course they are blessings, and not only they are blessing, but even the toughest part of businesses, after a few years, make up a good laugh.
And if you can't look back and laugh, then you're doing it wrong. 'Cause I think, we're all messy, we're all beginners. I feel like real entrepreneurs kind of learn the hard way. But you've been in this arena, you've been building since 2002. What are the biggest changes that you've seen the most in business in the past 24 years?
I would say, not digging into what AI is today, and because I know we're going to discuss that, and it's the most important thing that happened in the world for as long as I can remember, although we've been through great invention and creations. I'd say that when I started entrepreneurship back 35 years ago now, but I really digged into the digital world in 2002. And I had in mind since that time that we had those kind of 7-ish years, 7-ish cycles, like 1993, first internet connection, 2000 was the bubble, Google coming out, 2007 was social media, 2014, 15 were the streaming aspect, video aspect, So we had this 7-year cycle. And now with AI, not only we could argue that those cycle have reduced in time, I'd say we do not have any cycles anymore. The cycle is already yesterday, and that's a real discussion we should have, because that really defines your approach we should have with AI, knowing that, okay, I used to tell people that were kind of sad they were missing something with digital world. Oh, I missed e-commerce, I missed social media, I missed marketplaces. I say, you know what? You're sitting at a train station. That's fine. The next train is coming out. You just jump on it. Well, now the next train stops every single minute. So, that's something very interesting to think about.
No, I respect that perspective for sure. And I feel like, part of what's really important is that apparently you've adapted because you've gone through every season of what has really come, right? And I feel like, a lot of people, business was word of mouth before social media. And I mean, obviously, it feels like AI is just that next transition. But I think to be successful, you have to be adaptable. Like what worked for us 10 years ago to sell or to be even seen, in such a noisy place, like even social media, you got to get a little more creative, separate yourself from everyone else and to be able to adapt. What are some of the biggest things that you've changed in just the past, let's say 7 years right now, that have really benefited where you are in business and in your experience here?
I would start a little bit earlier.
Okay.
I'd say that as a multi-recidivist, entrepreneur, we all have this point in time where we have this, we hit hard, and that point in time made me understand very few important things that now make me the entrepreneur I am, and most certainly the man I am. First of all, if you've been successful once, it means your intuition works, your gut feelings work. Okay. If you've been successful twice, you should think that your intuition really works, right? But then your company starts to grow. And when they grow, you start to be surrounded with people that are complacent, that tell you that everything you do is great. And then you say, okay, now I'm surrounded by people that have skills. I'm going to start listening to them. And you tend to push away your gut feelings and your intuition. I think, as a business owner, that's the number one mistake you should avoid. You are here because your gut feeling and intuition are on par, on point, Keep believing in it because it doesn't mean that you're not going to fail. You are going to fail. But then you have the counterpart of the same coin, the same metal, which is accountability. If you're a good business owner, you have to be accountable. What does it mean? That means I believe my gut feeling, I take a decision. It does work, everybody's happy. It doesn't work, that's on me. And if you have and you stick to those two very simple things, that's kind of obvious, right? Well, you're going to be successful because everything on the flow. And accountability for me is very important. And in the day of age of AI, it's even more important because in front of you, you have this wonderful tool that has this tendency to have this psychophony, of pleasing you, telling you you're beautiful, you're the greatest, Okay, now I'm going to apply judgment. Now I'm going to be accountable. And now I'm going to be my intuition, not this LLM intuition.
I think that's incredible. And I do want to get into the AI talk, but kind of what you were saying here is that something happened to you, kind of got the wind knocked out of you. That was like your origin story of like, oh, okay, something I need to pivot, I need to change. So that's kind of where you started, right?
That was, well, I should say, I could say I've been blessed enough for that thing to happen quite late. I've been, I guess, lucky. But I would tell any entrepreneur, and especially young entrepreneur, I wish you fell very early on. I wish you had your lesson very early on. Because believe me, during your career, you will have a lesson. Then I don't know of any entrepreneur that did not have that lesson. And you were probably going to have multiple ones. But I mean, the big first one is really essential. You're gonna have other ones. I've had other ones, but having this big thing in my life, made me apprehend the next ones very much differently.
It's
And I can dig
almost,
into details if you want, but.
give us the tea, 'cause I feel like, everybody thinks that they meet someone successful and they have this just like Hollywood sanitized version, the Instagram perfected. I call it bullshit, 'cause I feel like what really makes us successful in business is the lessons. It's the lesson, because every time you go through something, you have an opportunity to learn and grow from it, and then you just reapply it. And so I feel like kind of that's at the core of who we are, that message, that mess up, where we were just like blindsided kind of, and kind of brought to our knees. That gives us a chance to recalibrate, to be like, okay, this I learned from that. So yeah, take us a little into those details.
I'm going to go into details, but first off, just circling back to what you just said, Brendan, this is exactly, and I'm going to explain you why it's like that. Because after the thing happened, it's only a story. You know, at the end of the
Yeah.
day, it's a story. And I'm going to tell you that story right now. I'm going to try to push it into a 2-minute story, when in fact, it's a 4-year story of struggle.
Yeah.
And 4 years is 1,500 days of waking up, you know, being mad, you know. You kind of contract a story and you tell people and tell them to extract of that story a lesson. But that story is just a little story, when in
Yeah.
fact, it was big drama for me, you know. So
Yeah.
I easily understand it, because early on, I've heard those stories from other people trying to warn me, you know. So I am not going to try here with you, Brendan, to solve all the problems of the world.
Of
But, you
course.
know, put things into perspective. The story I'm going to tell you, which was very hard on me and which now kind of make me laugh a lot,
Yeah.
was a 4-year span. Yeah, so to make a long story short, I moved to the US in 2002. I started in e-commerce right after the internet bubble, and I got very successful very easily, I would say, and
Yeah.
very quickly. And by 2007, 2008, I started buying other companies, and I was selling H&B product. Then I buy a toy company. Then I buy a fragrance company, because they were all the same at the end of the day. Whatever you ship, you know, it's about SEO, SEM, and I was good at it.
Yep.
And to make it, and believe me, I didn't know at that time, I just flew on top of 2008 crisis while the world was crumbling down around me. My business was blossoming. Okay. And this is very important to explain, because now this is the moment I got too comfortable. Now imagine that you're working and you see everybody's losing their homes and their businesses and you blossoming. You do not say this way, but you kind of feel invisible. You think, okay, I'm good. Well, there were a few years later, end of 2010, I was ready for probably the biggest year of my life. Everything was on point. I had my warehouse packed. I have my website on. I have my teams working 7 days a week. I was ready for Christmas season, you know. And I wake up and everything started on very early on perfectly. I was shipping around 1,500 packages a day, which was very good for a small business company. But December 10, I wake up and I hear that there's a big volcano that is erupting in Iceland, right? On the other side of the world. And I don't know if you remember that story, but the volcano created a big cloud of ash all over Europe where no plane could fly. And I was shipping 99% of my orders in Europe. So now I have tens of thousands of packages stuck in Jamaica, New York, and you do not know when the cloud's going to disappear, right? Long story short, receiving thousands of mail, because keep in mind, those things were gifts for Christmas, you know? And people were worried, is it a scam? What are you doing with my gifts, whatever? You know, you work, you try to solve the issue, and at some point, after 3 weeks, the cloud disappears and they receive their package. But you keep, you know, you're a serious company, you're not a scammer, so you have only 1.4% chargebacks, which is very good. But Bank of America didn't like it this way. You know, you have to be beyond, be under 1%. So they cut my merchant services. So now, instead of having the most beautiful year of my life and really breaking the glass ceiling, I'm 4 years step back. I'm really in trouble. You know, I have website, I have everything, but now I don't have any way to get paid. And that's an act of God, right? That's a volcano. That's not my fault. What can you do? Well, no. It was round eight. I was counted on the floor, you know, one, two, three. I was knocked out.
You're out.
I woke up. It took me weeks. I solved kind of the problem, but I had to pay 10% fees every month. You know, it was crazy. But at the moment, I decided to tell myself, this is not an act of God. This is not the volcano. This is me getting too comfortable and not having plan Bs. This is all my fault. Now, Brandon, we could argue, was it my fault as a business owner? The thing is, I did not want to be the man that would today tell Brandon that story that happened to him and say, oh, I lost everything 20 years ago and it was not my fault. You know, kind of, I said, I will not be that man. I will be the man that will tell that story as a bouncing story. And you know what? It was. I said, okay, what did I do wrong? Well, you know what? I didn't have any work in the US. I was not good on social media, and I started digging and teaching myself and learning stuff. And in the course of 3 years, I built another company that was even bigger than the previous one. And I was in a better place, So that was a blessing. A volcano on the other side of the world was a blessing for me. And I would tell anyone listening, Brendan, you're going to get hurt. Again, it will last. It's not a 2 minute story. It's a 5 years story. But keep it real, Understand that it's your blessing what's happening to you. There is a solution and you will find it. Just don't pity yourself and just don't think an act of God is something that you can control. There has to be a layer there where you miss something.
I think this is incredible, and that's the exact story about why I created this show. Because you did take something, that was meant to destroy you. And you used it as a lesson to become ideally a better man, because now you know, like, you can't operate from ego anymore. You can't get comfortable, so you're going to have a different approach. How much has that changed in your business now? And is that something that still grows and changes and evolves several years later?
Well, Terry, I'm going to get a little bit personal here, but I think it's directly related to what we just discussed. I've been going through a divorce very lately, which was probably the second big thing, that was not on my checklist.
Of course.
And you know what? I handled it kind of good because of the first volcano story. This is my second volcano, and this eruption, I take it very differently. So now I'm calm. I kind of think it's a blessing too. And I'm not talking personal reason, I'm talking business reason. We're strictly talking business. Okay, now you know what? It happens to me because at the moment where I'm building a new business, you know what? Let's make it revenge business, a revenge to life. Let's make it something big. And I'm not talking about the financial aspect of my divorce. I'm talking about, I don't, a anybody that's been through a divorce knows that you're going through a kind of, disrespectful communication, if I may say that way. And you argue, when people kind of disrespect who you are, what you do, and you wake up one morning and you say, okay, you know what? It's like a volcano. I'm going to get back from it stronger. And it's maybe an opportunity to show everyone that I'm bigger than that. So I found it a big motivation for me. And, I am not saying you should build a company on being upset, on, but you have to find the dynamics from what happened to you to make a good thing out of it.
Always.
So this is a positive way, not a negative, upset way.
No, I very much agree with that. And I mean, going through divorce is a personal thing, because now, like, your identity changes. And so, in that, with your identity changing, I think it's incredible that you have something constructive that, is beneficial. You're not like, ah, oh, forget it, I give up, I'm just gonna go get drunk every day and, cry about my life to my friends. Like, you're doing something productive. So I think that's, however you're getting there, like, it's part of that therapeutic process anyway. But
It is. It
divorce
is.
sucks. So yeah, make the best out of it. Make the best out of it.
Exactly.
Let's get into AI now, because that's a big conversation too. What is real? And what's just hype right now?
There's a lot of AI bashing these days. As any new technology, fear comes out of people losing their job, not understanding what's going to happen. Are we going to disappear as a race, as a species, Okay, all those things that you hear everywhere, right? Now let's go back to the basics. I've been through it all for the past, I'd say 50 years since I first got the 2K computer under my finger when I was 10, So you see that it's always the same thing, always the same cycle, always the same fear. So that's one thing. But now let's dig into AI specifically because it's something that is huge, right? It's huge. Let me tell you what I came to as defining what AI is. I like to compare it to money. Let me tell you why. I think both of them, first, are in themselves, in itself, neither good nor bad. Money is not good. Money isn't bad either. This is a currency, And as a currency, monies allow you to buy commodities, allow you to buy resources, sometimes even human resources. You can afford for employees, when you're growing up. Well, you know what? AI is just the same. You have tokens. It's a commodity. You want resources, you buy yourself agents. You want to use it as a commodity, you buy knowledge and tons of it, and you have tokens for this, So it's the same. And now, thinking about it, when I told you earlier that money, is either good or bad, well, AI is the same. But both of these have exactly the same characteristic, which is they make the person that use it bigger than they are. So now you understand, that thing when people do not have much money and are good people. When they get rich, they are great people. And sometimes when people are not very good, they get money and they get very dirty and bad, not very good to be around. Well, the same with AI. People dig into AI, they have goodwill, they have a good mentality, and they start learning and teaching and getting out of AI, and they become most certainly better worker. And in my case, I think I'm even a better person with AI. But I've seen around people that with AI, it has turned them into monsters. Now, should we be afraid of that? Well, no, Brandon. We've been around long enough to know we've had lunatics people forever, and we keep on having lunatics people for a very long time. These people are there. Their characteristics are just being emphasized by this tool. But the tool in itself is not dangerous. So that's fine. I'm talking about specific people that I've met that have turned into monster with AI. Believe me, they were monster before. It didn't change much what I think about them.
No, I love that so much, and what you're saying is it's exactly spot on, because I can see the correlation now. Money makes you more of who you are. That's all. It just makes you more of who you are. And if you were already at the core not a good person, it's going to be the same thing. It's just that you're bigger, right? Like, more people can see it. And I very much agree with the AI, because I've seen a very dark side of it as well. But, I personally, I am a fan, 100%. I ran a program on, I first ran it on chat, and it changed everything for me. This program that I put into it, I mean, just even nailed it down to like my health. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got the program of like, okay, this is what I'm eating. Let's figure out my macros. This is what's going on with my weight. Like, I input blood tests and just a bunch of things to where I'm finally like not fighting losing weight for the first time in 50 years, because I input the program. And also, being able to be honest with the program of, what I ran through it, it's a matter of like, I don't want to be hyped. I don't need to hear that I'm pretty or smart. Like, call me out on my bullshit. Tell the truth. Like, what am I missing here? What am I not applying? My blind spots, and things like that. So 100%. Like, I am a fan of it. It has changed my life significantly, but not in a way that it's taken over, And this is the side that I see that I think I want them to pay attention to, is that right now there's a lot of fake stuff. There's fake AI accounts. There's, they want to do AI for movies. Like, they're kind of just taking the humanity out of things. And people, I mean, these videos are going viral, right? Like, AI videos. And at some point, I feel like people are really going to miss that humanity, which is why I preach have a podcast. Like, people are going to want to hear a human voice, because I do think AI is popular. And I do think, there's a huge thing. But I also think we have the opportunity to stay grounded in representing humanity and continuing to use our voice without the computer. What is your perspective on that, where, the direction you see it's heading?
So much thanks to what you said, Brandon. And I kind of think you just were pushing me to what I believe very strongly in my heart. I'm into AI right now, right? Okay. And the more the limitation between reality is getting blurry, I believe the future of AI is going to be disclosing that you're using AI. And the reason is very simple. It's as a species, as human, we're going to have this reflex of protection. And we're going to look for the flaws. we're already kind of seeing it, right? No, those videos again, that looks too perfect, way too perfect. People are getting out of it. That's why social media memes that are working today are not perfect at all, you know? And that's why we're looking for, that's why we're craving for as humans. This is our human protection against AI. And I think it's gonna work. I'm gonna give you a straight example. We are building a company with voice AI, and it's a very mature technology. Aside of everything that it does, working 24/7, understanding users' emotion, you can easy today very easily clone the business owner voice with voice AI. Okay, this is something we decided not to do in my company. The reason is very simple: not that we don't have the technology to do it, is that using the business owner voice without disclosing that it is AI is a break of trust with the connection they have with their customer base. You have a customer that's been connecting with the business for 20 years. You know, I want an appointment for my little dog for next Tuesday. You know, you might mess with them for one call or 3 minutes or two call or three call, but one day he's going to understand that he's not talking with Brandon, right? And he's going to say, but who am I talking with? I'm talking with a robot. What did Brandon need to tell? I'm talking with a robot. You know, I need to know that. I trust her. You know, and this is the thing that people are very much afraid of. And I'm very positive and confident about that. We are going to be self-protective about this. And I believe that either we disclose that we're using AI, either we keep the little flaws in AI that makes people see that this is AI. And as perfected as it will be, it's not that not disclosing will be successful. It's that we are going to get away from that. We're going to push it away. And people will understand it. You know, this is why you have great directors. You know, you have Quentin Tarantino that make great movies that are beautiful, but have those flaws, you know, and people go to see that movies, you know. Well, it's the same thing. Now, if I have to say something about people that still are scared that with AI, don't know what to integrate in their workflows or in their personal life, I would say do not try to learn AI. First of all, nobody learns AI. Nobody knows what it is. It's changing every day. It's ever changing. There's no school for AI. It's BS. You know? What is this? Start with knowledge. Start with knowledge. Pick up a subject that you like. Pick up astronomy. Pick up cooking. Pick up entrepreneurship, you know, and just start interacting with AI. Now you will understand what comes back to you. Now you will apply with the number one rules of AI, which is personal judgment. Okay. Like AI, now this is bullshit. Now I'm going to stop you here. Now I'm going to, because I know that better than you, I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. And you're going to start interacting with it. And then you're going to get confident with it. You're going to know what you, how it works, how it thinks, and how it's at the end of the day is going to end up being treated like an HR, like human resources. You know, when you do good, you congratulate it. When you do bad, you tell it, you know, tell him, tell her. And this is the first thing you should do. Grab a subject, go deep on that subject, take a week off work, you know, and just harness the subject. It was while you're harnessing the subject, you will start harnessing AI.
I think that's some great advice. Would that be the same advice that you would give someone, say that someone, small business owners listening right now, and they're like, man, I really want to start using AI without overcomplicating it for the business mindset. Like, how would you speak to them? What would you tell them to start with?
For them, learning about AI, I think, would be a good start, but it would not be enough to integrate it in the workflow. Simply because a big misunderstanding, sorry, with AI nowadays is that most people think that building an AI solution is prompting. Well, it's not true. And I can tell you because I made that mistake very early on. Prompting is just one single part of what you're building. And when you start working with AI, you very much understand that data, workflows, automation are 90% of what you're building. AI is maybe only 10%. And the more profound you go, the deeper you go building your solution, the thinner the prompting gets. And at some point, you know, you're really bring, it's like having, again, someone working for you, right? You hire an employee, an accountant. Well, you're providing tool, you're providing data, you're providing an environment to work, and you say, do your work. Well, an LLM is just the same. You know, think of it as an agent working for you. You it's only as good as the environment and the information you provide to it.
The operator,
Prompting is because, it's very smart, but also being smart is only, is focusing on what you want him to achieve. So keep it focused, have multiple agents, and work like the old days, I'd say, on data automation and workflows. And if you don't know how to do that, there's many companies that are actively working on it. Now, there's the last thing I would tell you, Brandon, because I see it's very important and it's kind of a thing that is very dangerous is anybody that's browsing social media nowadays, whether you go on X or Instagram, you're being overwhelmed with all those posts. Oh, the brand new cloth or game a fork and this morning, and I made $200,000 and 300,000 followers in a day. And it's very dramatic. It's not how it works. When you're building a company or you're absorbing AI in your workflow, you find a tool that works for you, it's more than enough. Do not get overwhelmed trying to get the new shiny toy. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And just stick to what you have. If it's good enough for you now, it's going to be good enough for quite a long time.
I very much agree with that, and thank you for speaking that honesty to the audience. My last question, because we're coming up on our time now, where do you see the biggest opportunity with AI coming up in the next few years?
That's a hard question. I would argue that there are absolutely no limitation on how AI will integrate every aspect of work. I would probably answer by the opposite. I would say, as AI is going to integrate every aspect of our work, please, please, please do not forget the focus, which still are human, meaning your consumers, your customers. These are the problems that you need to solve on a daily basis. Not the technical aspect, not the AI aspect. You wake up every morning when you're building a company, you're building it for humans until now. So keep focusing on that. If you decide to wake up a morning and build an AI solution or AI-based company, until you've talked with 100 potential customers, you do not have a business. Until you sold your first product to a customer, you do not have a business. Until you haven't had your first customer service issue, you do not have a business. So I would say, yeah, use AI, use it as HR, use it as tool, but it's like the old days, customer focused.
Customer focus. I love that. Keep the humanity in our work. Tell people where they can get resourced with you. Where can they find you?
Yes, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Brandon.
Of
I love the
course.
discussion. So they can visit getoblig.com. This is a business directory where anyone can create within 2 minutes a listing page. And the interesting thing about it is that as soon as your listing page is approved, you will have an AI voice fully working on that page for free. And I'm not talking a demo here. I'm talking a fully AI voice. So for anyone that wants to know how AI work and how it could be integrated in your workflow, this is a very interesting way to approach it. And as far as contacting me, I would love to answer any question. If anybody wants to dive into where we're going and have any questions, you go to the footer on getoblig.com. You go to any social media, send me a message, and I'd be more than happy to answer anyone.
That's amazing. Lauren, this is the part where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you understand business. I think that's wonderful. You absolutely have the mindset for it. You've been in it. But it's that you've done it in spite of multiple volcanoes, like the kind that most people would crumble and feel sorry for themselves and have excuses for. You've built this. You've been tested, you've tested it, you've adapted, you're moving with this, and now you're helping people cut through the bullshit and focus on what actually works. You're not hyping people, you're looking for results, and you're keeping humanity in this. I love that you're holding that at a level of importance in this experience. I think what you're doing is valuable. I think it's incredible. God bless your success. You're killing it out there. I'm so happy for you. For everyone listening, listen, you guys don't need more information. You need better execution. God didn't call you to sit on ideas. He called you to build, to move, to solve, to create something that works. Be a creator. Be aware, be decisive, and please remember that your mess, your volcano, that's your message. Even, failed launches, even the mistakes, even the lessons that you learn the hard way, that's where your authority is built. And if you've been sitting on something, a story, a message, a business idea, you know you're supposed to speak, you're supposed to build, you're supposed to share something. That's where you come talk to me. Okay? I'm going to help you take your experience, your knowledge, and your story, and let's turn it into something that impacts people. Otherwise, what's the story worth? Nothing. A couple tears? Aw. Whether it's going to be a podcast for you or a platform or something bigger, who knows? Let's build it the right way. Okay. If you're ready to stop overthinking, come work with me. Make sure you guys get resource with Laurent. Okay. I've got his links in the show notes. If this episode speaks to you, please share it. You know people that need to hear the message that neither of us are going to be able to have access to without you. So don't be selfish today. All right. Just share it out. Whether you think you know someone or not, someone will see it. The right person will see it. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Thanks again for your time so much.